The scripture for today's message is Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. This message is based on senior pastor's lectures on Proverbs number 115 and one of his sermons preached back at our church's 11th anniversary service under the title, The Answer of the Tongue is from the Lord. Everyone lives while pursuing their own dreams, whether it's small or big. In order to fulfill that dream, they make plans of the heart and work on them. However, how many of them achieve or fulfill the plans they originally made? Some people harbor a dream of becoming a president, but only a limited number of people can become president in one generation. Through generations, there have been numerous people who dreamed of becoming president, yet only a few have achieved their dream while generations pass by. The reason a majority of people fail to achieve their dream is that the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Unless God answers us, even though we make plans of the heart and make every effort towards them, we cannot achieve them. Dear brothers and sisters, not all of you, but many of you have had such experiences in your lives where things didn't go as you planned in your heart. Brothers and sisters, have you had more occasions where the plans of your heart came true than the occasions where things didn't go as you planned in your heart? When the shepherd preached about this in the past, he asked the congregations to raise their hands. So, please raise your hand if you have more occasions where the plans of your heart ended up well. Thank you. There's only a few who raised their hand, and they were men of Holy Spirit or men of spirit, most of them who raised their hands. Of course, some people may proudly say, I've got everything done as I planned. It may be because their plans didn't go beyond or deviated from the right path. It may be the result of their arduous efforts as well. Even out in this world, those who lead successful lives have made painstaking, grueling efforts that no one else knows. But even these people, as look back, reflect on their lives, there must have been moments where things went differently from the plans of their heart. Dear brothers and sisters, because God is the one who created heaven and earth and everything therein, the universe operates in the rules of God. In the rules of God, we can find all the principles on how people can be blessed or how people can be cursed. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 says, Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. To the contrary, if we fail to obey the words of God and His commandments, God warns us that we are subject to all kinds of curses. The mechanism of how everything works is all in God's formula and the laws of the spiritual realm. If you only know His formula, you can estimate what will happen if you do this or if you do that. By applying your problems in them, you can get the answers. Then, what does plan mean? According to the dictionary, plan is to arrange a method or scheme beforehand for any work, enterprise, or proceeding. Dear brothers and sisters, what should be the goal of our plans? In our Lord, our plan should concern the managing of our heart rather than fleshly plans. We are not concerned of, well, how can we live better? But in the Lord, our concern is how to achieve a heart of spirit, how to get in between the first and second floor of the shepherd's castle. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22 commands us, abstain from every form of evil. Also Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 urges us, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Our firm goal, or the management of our heart, should focus on abstaining from every form of evil and achieving a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, thereby entering the place between the first and the second floor of the shepherd's castle in New Jerusalem. So from now on, let me explain in detail what kind of procedures are required for us to fulfill the plans of our heart and be blessed persons. First, our plans of the heart should be in agreement with God. Today's scripture reminds us, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Therefore, if the plan of your heart agrees with God, you will most certainly receive His answer as you plan in your heart. However, if your plan does not accord with the heart or the will of God, you cannot achieve it. We can't get things achieved just by doing things at our own will, but as we figure out the will of God and apply our will into the formula God has set forth, we are placed onto the way to prosperity. When people fail to receive God's blessing or enjoy prosperity in life, it's because their will is not in agreement with God's will. But if they adjust their will to that of our God, they can achieve anything. From now on, let me explain reasons why people fail to adjust their plans of the heart to the will of God. First, it's because they have evil that even non-believers consider evil. There are the works of the flesh such as hatred, envy, jealousy, adultery, murder, which are revealed in actions. The Bible calls them the deeds of the flesh, as we find in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. As said in those verses, those who commit the deeds of the flesh cannot even enter heaven. Then, how could they receive an answer from God? Of all the factors that prevent us from having our plans in agreement with God, those deeds are most evil and considered as evil even by non-believers. Even non-believers who have no faith in God shouldn't commit such acts of evil. Moreover, there's no doubt these things shouldn't be committed by the believers of God. For this reason, if those who believe in God commit such works of flesh, what do they face? The punishment or retributions. Next, even a person who seems to dwell in the truth still has attributes which are evil in the eyes of God. Those are the things of the flesh that are contained in his heart, but not revealed as actions outwardly. Even though some people hold hatred or adultery in their heart, they can keep them from being revealed in outward actions. Even if they hate someone, they may pretend not to hate him. Even if they have no love, they may pretend to love. Worldly people or non-believers don't consider them evil because such things of the flesh are not visible to our eyes. But our God, who looks at the heart, calls them evil. When you keep such fleshly attributes in your heart, even though they are not shown in actions. Thus, Jesus said, looking at a man or a woman with lust is committing adultery, even though we don't do adulterous actions outwardly. Among us are people who have cast off the deeds of the flesh, committed an action, but still have the things of the flesh, which are remaining in heart. Also, even those who consider themselves righteous have areas that should be thrown away. Earlier, I explained about the works of the flesh, such as murder, adultery, hatred, envy, jealousy, and strife. And next, I talked about the things of the flesh which are contained in man's heart but not revealed in actions. Even after a person has come into spirit and see themselves as righteous after casting off all works of the flesh and then the things of the flesh, he still has areas which should be thrown away. Only after you've gone through all these three procedures can you change into a perfect man of spirit. Only then will the promises of the Bible promises of the Bible come upon you. The night Jesus was arrested by a group of people sent by the chief priests and the Pharisees, Peter, Jesus' disciple, took out a sword and struck the high priest's slave named Malchus, cutting off his ear. Seeing his beloved teacher being in danger, Peter tried to protect him. What he did for him may seem to be righteous, but it is not so in the sight of God. Although something may seem right according to the truth, if the action was not from the obedience of the Holy Spirit, we can say it was perfectly of the truth. In Acts chapter 10, it's a scene in which the apostle Peter went up on the roof to pray and saw a vision. He saw an object like a great sheet coming down from the sky. Inside the sheet were all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice came to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean." He refused to eat those things. By the law of Moses, those things were abominable and prohibited for eating. But even while Peter knew that it was the voice of the Lord, he was disobeying in his self-righteousness, so it didn't accord with the will of God. In reply, God told Peter, "What God has cleansed, no longer considered unholy," thereby breaking his stereotype that the gospel couldn't be preached to the Gentiles. Dear brothers and sisters, let me introduce my own experience in which I disobeyed in my own righteousness and faced difficulty as a result. It was when not long after I came to this church, and at the dawn of the year 1985, I decided to offer New Year fasting along with other 8 pastors. We decided to pray and arm ourselves with the word at a secluded and quiet place with a resolution for spiritual change. We made our way to a prayer house located in Yongin City, guided by Pastor Hyunggun Chu. And we rented a place for prayer. But it snowed heavily with the freezing temperature. The freezing cold weather even froze the heater, the boiler. It burst out. So we got into trouble. We sat around the coal bracket stove reading the Bible. I read the Bible with other 8 fellow pastors. Fasting made us feel even colder. Reading the Bible, we felt so cold that we brought all the blankets around and covered ourselves with them around the coal bracket stove. And the coke bracket stove smelled really strongly. And that caused headache. Those who were fasting with me, they offered 3-day, 5-day, 7-day, 10-day, 15-day fasting. Because I came to church later than other pastors, I thought I had more things to cast off and decided to fast for 15 days. But without Father God holding on to us, we had a very rigorous, hard time. In the early days of the church, pastors fasted habitually. We had no difficulty fasting 3 days, 5 days, but without Father God holding on to us, we had a really hard time. The pastors who were fasting with me suffered a lot. And we, on the fifth day of our fasting, we came down from the mountain on Saturday, and we were told that at the Friday online service, God mentioned that we, pastors, having a hard time in the mountain. He also pointed out that we, the pastor, should have stayed at our church or Mom and Prayer Center, whom God loves. We left for another place, following our fleshly thoughts and choosing what seemed righteous to our own eyes. Father God enlightened us through His prophetic words. We had such a hard time. One of us failed, so he had to enter into fasting again, 7-day fasting. Anyway, it was really challenging. It has never been more difficult. But I remembered how our shepherd fasted. Back at the time, senior pastor also fasted a lot. I reminded myself how the shepherd fasted for 40 days. How he fasted for 40 days without Father God holding on to him, our shepherd vomited blood, even facing the crisis of death. I thought 15 days is not big of a challenge compared to his fasting. I made up my mind, reminding myself of how our shepherd fasted without Father God holding on to him. After the fasting, bruises developed on my chest as some of my cells burst. The cells burst out and reddened my flesh. So I realized how fasting could be difficult when Father God does not hold on to us. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9 say, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The verses remind us that God's ways are incomparably higher than our thoughts. Through that painful, painstaking experience, we deeply realized that no matter how good or right something seems to our eyes, when we disobey, we fail to receive answers but become subject to trials. From this, we can learn that only when our plans are in agreement with the will of God, our plans can be fulfilled by way of answers and blessings. Secondly, in order to fulfill the plans of the heart and be blessed, we have to break our self-righteousness by which we consider ourselves right. There are a few categories of self-righteousness. Sometimes we see people profess to live by the truth, but they do it according to their own thoughts. And this is not right. Many of those who hear and live according to God's word and consider themselves pure falls under this category. For example, as they hear God's command, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy," they make up their mind to keep the Sabbath. 9 out of 10 times, they just obey as told. But 1 out of 10 times, when something occurs, they think in favor of their situations. They think like, "It's not that I'm not coming before God. Because I'm faced with this trouble, dealing with this trouble first is a good thing. So this week, I'll take care of this matter and go to church next week. In doing so, they considered their thoughts good, so they don't regard it as false, but rather think of it as a righteous act. But God doesn't regard it as right, but He considers it to be compromising. The same goes for prayer. If someone is capable of praying fervently wherever he is, he may think it's good for him to pray alone without going to a prayer meeting, but he doesn't know he's committing a sin of ceasing to pray. This is not the case. When there's a prayer meeting where people come together for prayer, it is right to be with them in order to be united as a family, spiritual family. But if you insist on praying alone, it demonstrates that you fail to be united with them. It is very, very important that you give up your preference and be united as one with other fellow church members. Dear brothers and sisters, God is not pleased with one who sets himself apart from others, following his own thoughts and seeking his benefits. We have to look back on ourselves, whether we are leading an isolated Christian life, not associating or communicating with others. I'll give you the second example of self-righteousness, by which you regard yourself as right. There are people who cover up, conceal someone else's faults. This is not right as well. Although they discover faults of someone, they keep them from being revealed to keep peace with others. Ignoring the fact that the situation is deteriorating inside, they are only concerned about their faults being revealed. Hophni and Phinehas were two sons of Eli the priest in the Bible. They were also priests themselves, but committed evil, thus being described as worthless in the Bible. They took for themselves fine portions of the meat, which was to be sacrificed to God. They committed such a grave sin of despising the offering of the Lord. After Eli the priest heard all that his sons were doing to all Israel and how they lay with the women who served at the doorway of the tent of the meeting, he said in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 23 through 25, he said to them, "Why do you do such things, the evil things that I hear from all these people? No, my sons, for the report is not good, which I hear the Lord's people circulating. If one man sins against another, God will mediate for him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him?" Yet they didn't pay heed to his words. Father God held Eli the priest accountable for not having raised his children well, saying that he honored his sons above God. Then God warned him that his family will be subject to curses through generations to come. As you've heard from Pastor Esther Chung's sermon, we've heard that how their offspring were cursed. To make everything perfect, rather than hiding their faults, he should have subjected them to punishment so that they will not commit sins ever again. Dear brothers and sisters, unlike Eli the priest, how our shepherd did behave, our beloved shepherd wholly acted according to truth since he was a novice believer and instructed his children on how to keep the Sabbath day holy. At one Sabbath day, when he came back home from Sunday services, he found his wife giving his three daughters some money to buy snacks. Seeing this, he told them to throw all their money into the toilet in the bathroom. By doing so, he wanted to let his children keep it strongly in mind and never to think of violating the Sabbath again. He wanted them to inscribe such experience. Thanks to his teachings in the truth, Mrs. Bonglim Lee and his three daughters have become what they are now. Dear brothers and sisters, it's not only his three daughters, but he has wholly instructed us in the truth and guided all of us, mommy members, to love God first and thus stand on the rock of faith and come into spirit and whole spirit by teaching us never to commit sins. That's why we have come forth as the fruit of the spirit and whole spirit, or standing on the rock of faith. Hallelujah. Let's give glory and thanks to Father God, and also thank our shepherd. Next is the third example of self-righteousness. When a person commits evil, some people endure forcibly suppressing, holding back his ill feelings, but this is not right. When someone shows behaviors that go against their common sense or thoughts, some individuals just endure it, forcibly holding back his feelings in order to avoid fighting or discourse or dissension. They may think of themselves as righteous because they stay patient even when the other person acts evil against them. But our God does not consider that as righteous. If they forcibly endure such situations, ill feelings pile up and develop into a stomach disease or even depression or other nerves-related diseases. Such feelings pile up as evil and solidify into hatred. Then they can neither trust this person nor embrace them, even though he doesn't express his feelings outwardly because he has no regard for the value or worth of the other person. The feelings solidify into lasting hatred. The same thing can happen among spouses, a husband and a wife, or because he has no love for him, he cannot be united with the person happily, and God's will cannot be fulfilled between them. This is the evil of evil, and our Lord commands us to break and do away with such kind of evil. Therefore, when a person commits evil against us, we should neither get angry on the spot to let out our feelings, nor hold back our feelings in heart. Only when we receive God's grace and strength through prayer and fasting can we forgive the other person and get deeply into spirit. Dear brothers and sisters, to fulfill the plans of the heart, thirdly, we need absolute trust in our shepherd. True trust is not just placing trust when things correspond with our thoughts or our benefits. It does not change with the passing of time or change of situations. Peter could become Jesus' chief disciple because he placed absolute trust in Jesus. From the day he met Jesus the first time, he had an experience to break his fleshly thoughts when he was weary, tired out, not having caught any fish all through the night. Jesus commanded him, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Even though Peter hadn't been well aware of Jesus, he knew by rumors that he was a man of God with great manifestations of God's power. He replied, "We worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and not let down the net." Afterwards, they caught so many fish to the point where the nets began to break, and they asked for others' help. After that, as Peter accompanied Jesus, he developed greater trust in Jesus. Finally, making profound spiritual confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Recognizing Peter's trust in him, Jesus allowed him to accompany him on important occasions and entrusted him with a task. He ordered things like, "Go to the sea and pick up a fish, then you'll find a shekel in its mouth and pay the tax with it." Also, he said, "A man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house that he enters and ask for a room." Even when given such unexpected orders, Peter didn't have any doubts. He didn't think like, "How could I possibly find a shekel from a fish's mouth? What if I fail to catch a fish? Will a man really pass by the moment we go there? Will the owner of the house offer the room for us without our reservation in advance?" Even if Peter had not questioned Jesus like this, if he had felt uneasy and uncomfortable and wondered, "Why does he tell me to do this kind of thing?" Jesus couldn't have entrusted him with any works. Actually, Peter hadn't even reached the full measure of faith. Yet, as he witnessed manifestations of power that can't be done by man and experienced the authority of his words, Peter couldn't help but acknowledge and trust Jesus. Afterwards, as he received the Holy Spirit and changed into truth, his trust grew deeper. Finally, he wholly dedicated his life to the point he died a martyr. Dear brothers and sisters, why is that we can be changed, stand on the walk of faith, come into spirit and whole spirit only when we trust the shepherd? Earlier, I explained that Peter had known by rumors that Jesus was a man of God, but as he relied on Jesus' words and let down his nets, he was blessed to the point where his nets began to break. Dear brothers and sisters, at the 34th anniversary service, we together looked back on the history of Mamin through sermons. In the shepherd's sermons, the shepherd reminded us that how could all these things have been possible if God himself hadn't founded this church, and if there hadn't been the shepherd chosen by God himself? How could all these things have been possible? What kind of answer did you give to this question? We find in John chapter 9 how the blind man confessed to the Pharisees after he was healed. John chapter 9, verse 32, since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. He boldly declared to the Pharisees, dear brothers and sisters, you and I have directly witnessed and experienced God's numerous works. We are the witnesses to the manifestations of God's power, which are possible only with a man of God, guaranteed by God. While listening to the anniversary sermons, I'm certain you were excited and thrilled, thinking how great our God is, what great toil and efforts our shepherd has made for us, how great and tremendous this is. Dear brothers and sisters, God himself set up this church in his providence, and for the last 34 years has accomplished a great number of things through our shepherd. In the second stage of takeoff, we've accomplished many things. But now we are in the third stage of takeoff. God shed light on the deep secrets of the spiritual realm. Dear brothers and sisters, on this earth, we are now seeing the heavenly language, heavenly voice. How touching and thrilling this is that we can see such things on this earth. Think about this. We are now living in the fleshly world, but we are seeing the heavenly letters Father God showed us. And Father God allowed us to sing the heavenly songs in heavenly languages. And Father God also separated the spirits of some pastors and to behold the heaven and hell, and so that we can hear their testimonies. How marvelous how this is. Not only this, we have seen innumerable cases of God's power. Mamin members are continually coming forth as men of spirit and whole spirit who are ready to go forth towards the world. In the Bible, we can find few men of spirit or horse spirit, but by the shepherd's original voice and by the shepherd's power recreation, many people, many of us, are standing on the rock of faith and coming into spirit and whole spirit. Every moment of the 34-year history of Mamin, Father God's glory has been abounding in this church. So many of us have broken our fleshly thoughts. How could we have broken our fleshly thoughts without witnessing such works of God? Now, Mammon is heading towards its climax, the third stage of takeoff, when we accomplish the providence of the end time. It is the ministry by the power of recreation. It has started off with power that even changed the hearts of men by love that transcended the justice. Responsible for his flock, our beloved shepherd has fulfilled the 99% of the justice with tremendous sacrifice and suffering and affliction. The shepherd has willingly bore the responsibility without thinking, "I've done enough, just a year more." He didn't put a limit in his sacrifice. He was willing to endure to the end if he could let even one more soul be changed. People stagger when they're on the 30th day of fasting. But our shepherd is in that condition, and now he still continually gives us. Thanks to his sacrifice, numerous souls are coming forth as the fruit of Spirit and Holy Spirit. Dear brothers and sisters, who is the one who has been guiding us with manifestations of power and leading us to be changed? Yes, it is our shepherd. Dear brothers and sisters, since 2010 and up until this day, when we are riding on the flow of the Holy Spirit, the most precious things for Mammon has been trust and love. Those who've participated in the flow of Spirit, in the flow of Holy Spirit, will agree. Those who have come into Spirit, if you hear the testimonies of those who have come into Spirit, when they truly realize the shepherd's love from their heart, they could be empowered to be changed. That's what they confess. When we wholeheartedly trust in the power that confirms the words of God, we are empowered to act by the word. People confess. They also confess, "As I inscribed deep in my heart the love of the shepherd who shed tears for me, my love for the world has disappeared. They vanished. I could sever all ties with the world that I loved. I couldn't do on my own, but by relying on the 99% of the justice the shepherd has done for me, I was more than able to make it." Father God has directly opened such a spiritual flow for this church. Because in this end time, we are in need of pastors, church workers, and believers united as one with the shepherd. Now, numerous people are marching towards heaven as they stand by the Father, the Lord, and the shepherd in any kinds of circumstances. Not only in this church, we have those people worldwide, people of the 10,000 branch churches around the world. They all long to stand on the rock of faith and long to come into Spirit and Holy Spirit, and they inscribe the shepherd's heart love in their hearts, and they have shared the same vision and dreams to accomplish the world mission. This is because they have trust in the shepherd that nothing in this world can take away. And this trust comes from love. Because they have love, they can obey the words. God has let Mammon members establish love and trust-based relationship with the shepherd, so that all of us can give glory to God on an unimaginable scale in the third stage of takeoff. Love and trust. Because we have trust, we obey. And those who obey, the 99% of justice is surely applied in them. And the benefits of such justice comes upon each people. But even those who are in this church, but if they don't trust the shepherd, the 99% of the justice cannot be applied to them. But our shepherd, beloved shepherd, even those who committed sins, if just only when they if they repent. The shepherd urges them to enter New Jerusalem. That's, he plans faith and plans faith so that they can, sometimes they blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, commit acts of flesh. Even those people, the shepherd strengthens them to march forward because he urges them, he challenges them, saying that they can make it. So again, God has let mommy members establish love and trust-based relationship with the shepherd so that all of us can give glory to God on an unimaginable scale in the third stage of takeoff. Your brothers and sisters, if you are truly aware of the shepherd's hard efforts and tears, you should long to be united with the shepherd with your heart, spirit, and deeds. The plans of the shepherd's heart are nothing but his ministry covers the whole world, not just in this church. The over 7 billion people in this world, he hovers them. That's what the plans of his heart. And he is now leading us, each one of us, into New Jerusalem. You know how he is spending each day for us to be led into New Jerusalem. As Pastor Heejin Lee preached, we've witnessed, we have experienced how he is fulfilling the justice. So, you may not have received your measure of faith or find yourself slow in your spiritual growth. Even so, remember, things were originally impossible for us. We were totally helpless in the past. Without the shepherd, we cannot make it. But to make us, who are completely men of flesh, into men of whole spirit,
He's
doing 99% on behalf of us with exceeding love. For this reason, when we rely on and trust the shepherd, what is totally impossible and difficult on our own can be fulfilled by the shepherd. Dear brothers and sisters, there is one whose plans of the heart exactly corresponds with the will of God. He fulfills all what he harbors. And even without harboring, he knows and prepares things in advance and fulfills them. He is our shepherd. So having him as our shepherd, how blessed we are. Hallelujah! I know how dearly all of you miss our shepherd. Let us together make a confession. Let me first say, beloved shepherd, then you will say, remembering how he's been leading each one of us with sacrifice, please say, thank you, love you. Let me first say, beloved shepherd, thank you, love you. Thank you. From now on, I hope none of you will say, I can't do anymore. Could a person like me make it? I want to give up. Engraving the shepherd's sacrifice, tears, and his endless giving love, and his voice urging us to march into New Jerusalem, we have to run a vigorous race to fulfill the plans of our heart, which is achieving a sincere heart and perfect faith. Let me conclude today's message. In order to fulfill the plans of the heart and be blessed persons, first, our plans of the heart should be in agreement with God. There are works of the flesh and things of the flesh and self-righteousness. We have to break them. Secondly, we have to break our self-righteousness by which we consider ourselves right. Thirdly, we should have absolute trust in our shepherd. In order to receive answers or fulfill the plans of our heart. We have to make our will correspond with the will of God. We have to break our self-righteousness and trust our shepherd. So I hope you come forth as great fruit of glory that encompasses the whole world with the power of recreation and the holiness gospel, and give great glory to God in this third stage of takeoff. As said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, "For who is our hope or joy or crown of exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at His coming? I sincerely hope that you will surely achieve a sincere heart and perfect faith, thereby becoming a source of joy, comfort, and pride to the shepherd in his castle in New Jerusalem." Let us reflect on today's message in our prayer. It's time for prayer for the sick. If you have any sick parts, please lay your hands on them. If there are no sick parts, please lay your hands on your chest and receive the prayer with the desires of your heart. Hallelujah, Almighty God, our loving Father, please lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN, Internet, and Satellite TV in branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all other children of God around the world. Give them the faith to believe from the heart. Drive away negative thoughts, doubts, and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, tissues, and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Light come. Please scorch all their terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All newly discovered diseases, including swine flu, go away, be cleansed. All contagious diseases, including cold, flu, fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, uterine, and intestinal cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid problem, and heart, lung, and women's diseases, and all infirmities go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs, back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases to go away. All kinds of paralysis be loosened. Get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well. Let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf hear, and the mute to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accident. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves, tissues, and cells be regenerated. Bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessing of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, the evil forces of the heavenly places, and their servants, go away. Go away, evil, unclean, false, and deceitful spirits, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen the bonds of weakness, Darkness, go away. Light, come. Father God, give them the strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let all things go well with them and let their families be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout the week and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and business fields. Give students wisdom and understanding and give them enthusiasm and fervor to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or in whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying you, Father God. Let them be able to testify about the living God saying, I've met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.